the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us two important points with regards to our lives, and he has assisted us and he has helped us through this education. And for these two, he has given us, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us a targhib, a framework, a methodology, that the two main parts of life, one is linked with the age, with the life, and the other is related to the household, the home, and the situation in the house. And we are very aware of the importance of this. Which person is there in the world who doesn't understand the importance of life, living, and the home? The family, the home, and the household. These are both two important segments or parts of a person's life. Everybody wants life. Everybody wants an easy life with good health and happiness and comfort and no problems. Everybody wants a vibrant life, a happy, peaceful life, and a long life, isn't it? We all want a long life with a lot of age. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the guidance on these two things, that for these two things, a good life, one is a lengthy life, a nice life, a long life, and the other, khair, goodness and blessings in the home. So that the dishes don't break and get thrown and smashed, rather there's barakah and love and happiness. If we get these two things, then we have got a very great gift. Now, a long age, a long life. Now, if we look at this point here, there are certain du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated and he told us, through which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge from a long age, a long life. Na'udhu bika umri. For example, there's in this statement that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one side we get the direction of not the long age, and then we see the contrast where Rasulullah SAW says, I will tell you how to have a long life, a good life. But there's not contradiction here, because the refuge we are seeking in that long age or the long life, it is such a long life, it's very long in terms of years, and there's illness and there's distress, and a person doesn't die and he's not alive. He's hanging between, he doesn't pray salah, he doesn't do tasbih, he doesn't do dhikr, nor does he remember Allah. So in front of him, he's just, the time is moving and he's just seeing his life, and he doesn't understand something's being said, he's hearing something he doesn't even understand, and he's just walking in life, moving in the life. Seen many people like this. A life without any direction, without any purpose, without any vision. May Allah Ta'ala save us from, and this is what we seek refuge from. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam here is mentioning the long life, the good life. And this life that Rasulullah ﷺ is doing dua for, it cannot be that long life, can it be? The one without any purpose or vision. So that life that Rasulullah ﷺ is making the dua, that Allah give us a long life and a lengthy life. So that will be the age and those years where a person always is young and youthful and vibrant, until his last day he will be hastily going to the masjid for Allah's deen, for dhikr, and he'll always be looking out for an opportunity to do something good, and people will be amazed and surprised that this person, mashallah, what does he eat? What do you eat? What do you do that you're so vibrant and you've got energy that, you know, you're mashallah, you've got a purpose. If we look at the example here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sahabi, who was one special khadim, Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu, who was a khadim and a great sahabi of Rasulullah SAW, who served the Prophet SAW through his life. And once Rasulullah SAW was happy with his khadim, Hazrat Anas, because Rasulullah SAW used to like his service. Hazrat Anas radiyallahu anhu was close to the Prophet SAW, and he earned a dua once. And it happens sometimes that a person, when he's happy with the person who's doing something for him, then he does dua. For example, if somebody's serving you, then that person doesn't need to request. From the heart, the dua comes out due to the khidmat of that person. So this is what happened. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did dua for Hazrat Anas, and what was the dua? That Allah give him the long life and wealth, and give him children. Allah put barakah into his life, into his wealth and his children. Look at the example now, that if Rasulullah makes a dua, then that dua is going to take shape. Then do you think his life was common? His age, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, was approximately 120 years old. That was how old he was. And his children, if we speak about his children, then he had dozens and dozens of children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and you lose count. This is the barakah Allah Ta'ala put into his family. And mal, wealth, mashallah, Allah blessed him. And when he passed away, Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu stated in the hadith that he had a room, and more than half of the room was full of gold coins. And even though he used to give a lot of khairat and charity and sadaqah, wealth would come and he'd give it away straight away. But despite that, more than half of the room was full of gold coins. They said, we're to break the chips of gold with the hammers and distribute that gold to people. Do you want this? Of course, we all want this, don't we? That we don't just drive the taxi around for nothing, do we? Yeah? That we're going in the winter, Scotland, to put the market. We're leaving Salah, we're going to Scotland to run the market store. So why don't we do amal on this hadith, what Rasulullah has given us that solution. So I'll tell you the targhib. You'll have a long life, like Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. And you'll have khair and barakah in your life, in your wealth. And you won't need to throw, and you'll have barakah in your house. You won't be throwing the dishes at each other and arguing and fighting and quarreling, and your house will become a portion of Jannah, paradise. A portion of paradise. Isn't it? What a great, great solution. So this is called khair and barakah. Goodness and blessings. So brothers, there's the long age, the long life. You can take the injections. People are trying to prevent death. Increase the age, increase the life, taking tablets and medicines and drugs so we can increase the lifespan. That's one way. But the other way is the way that Rasulullah advised us, how to increase the age and have a long life. And in that same way, khair and barakah will come into the house. In our homes, there's nothing lacking, is there? We're all sitting here, mashallah, all the brothers, everyone. And even the person who isn't well off, he'll have a sofa. And every 6 months, you'll change your carpets. And wallpaper is being changed, and the lights are being changed. The wife says, should we change this? Okay, let's change this. Oh, let's change that. Let's bring this new furniture. Oh, these curtains aren't good. And the wife brings another pair of curtains. And this drama carries on in the households, doesn't it? Yeah, this is common. Haram, halal, everything's involved, included. Take the loan, we take haram wealth, and we hide the tax and tax avoidance and evasion, and we fulfill our desires because we're living in the dunya. Well, we want that thing. We call this khair and barakah. If you want to buy a car, you take a loan out. And if you want other things, furniture at home, all loans, everything's happening. So all of these things you can buy. There's no doubt. There's nothing wrong with buying things and changing. Fulus is a powerful thing. Money. You can buy a lot of things with money. But one thing you can't buy with money, and that is barakah and blessings and goodness. You can't get it from any shop. Where will you get it from? From the court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you become the slave and the servant of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you learn all of the blessings and goodness in this world. Am I right or wrong? Is the khairat being distributed now while we sat here? Look, so whoever once said, put out the kameez and take it, wrap it up and go away with it, and you'll have the faiz and the blessings. So these two things, a long age, a long life, and barakah and blessings in the house, in the home. How do we attain this? How do we end this? Hazrat Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu narrated a hadith in this regard. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, look, Anas, my companion, that today I will... This is the meaning of the hadith. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Anas, that today shall I tell you such a beneficial thing, which will give a nafi', benefit, that through that your age will increase, your life will increase, and khair and barakah will come into your home. He said, oh Rasulullah, this is great stuff, great news. Tell me the solution, the potion. And Rasulullah said that if he said it was just for you, that would be end of the story, wouldn't it? If it was just for Hazrat Anas, but this was not the case. Until Qiyamah, for everybody, is this framework and methodology. But how sad, very few people act on this. We know this hadith, we hear it, but we don't want to implement it. Yeah, we want to get up in the morning thinking, yeah, this is good, and I just want to do this, and I want to run my house like this, and this is how I'm happy, and through this my age will increase, and I'll get goodness and blessings through this action. Well, listen, Well, listen, but we won't implement. But today, mashallah, very people of understanding are sat here, and they will, inshallah, with the fadl of Allah, we will all practice. And we'll listen. Allah Ta'ala sends that person to the majlis to hear who want to practice. So Allah selects who's listening today, who's coming. You haven't just come on your own. Allah sent you. Say loudly, who? Allah sent you. Allah Ta'ala knows that these people are, mashallah, people of passion, desire. They come, they make a note, then they go away and they try to practice what they've noted. That's why Allah Ta'ala gives fares and blessings. Otherwise, other people come, everyone runs away when it's told. But Allah Ta'ala said they don't want to do anything. Allah is khabir and basir. Allah is all-knowing and seeing. He gathers the people. He selects the people. Allah says, these are selected people. I'll give this to them if they do this action. So inshallah, I'm hopeful. I'm with you. I'm included that Allah Ta'ala will make us practice this amal. Inshallah. And those who are listening, inshallah, everyone who's listening will do what we are listening to. Allah will make us do it, inshallah. So brothers, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I will tell you the targheeb, the methodology of anas, very beneficial is this action. What will we get from this action? We will get a long life. What kind of life? Like Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu. More than 100 years he lived. And you will have a life of deen. Even if you are lying down on the straw bed, you will pray salah on the straw bed. If you're ill, then you will still do tasbih while you're sick, because you will have a good life, a vibrant life, a long life. And the corn grinder is moving and the flour is being made and your life is increasing and you're not wasting time. You're doing something. There's action. If Allah is going to give us an age, we're going to depart from this world one day. But alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has increased the age. And with the age, we will do good actions which will earn us paradise more. And when we die, then all that mal we've earned for the hereafter, we'll get it. More Jannah, more rewards. So it's good that I'm lying down on a bed. I've got a long life and Allah has given me ibadah, such a worship. Action that lying down, I can do it. I can do dhikr without wudu. And the more dhikr I do, the more construction will take place for me in paradise, for my homes, my assets, my belongings. If I get a long life like this on earth, I can earn more. And what's the point? Put things, waste of time, things in our ears, and we listen to nonsense and waste our time and giggling and wasting time. Futile talk. And this is another way of living the life. Allah Ta'ala save us until today. May Allah save us further than this. We are insan. We are those who run after nafs. May Allah knows best what will happen at the time of death, what will happen in the grave and thereafter. There's a big dua. We should request that dua. Ya Allah, we seek refuge. We ask you to protect us so that we can live our lives like what we were before. Allah, that we seek refuge, that we were okay up to now. Allah, please let us depart in the state the way we were before, in the path of the deen. So we're stuck in the deen through our life and we're not stuck in the dunya. Big dua. May not be that Allah, you've today given me tawfiq to pray salah and sunnah practice and you give me everything in the deen. May not be tomorrow, Allah, I do a rewind. And I do a reverse gear and I run back to my old ways. Allah, I seek refuge from my bad old ways. Protect me, Allah. Every second, Allah, let me go forward in the gears and in the direction. Let me get stuck in the deen and take me out of the predicament of being on the wrong path. So as long as there's no death, if death doesn't come, there are two dangerous things in my way. Today, iman. Tomorrow, there's no guarantee. After 1 hour, I may lose that iman. After a second, I may not have that iman. Why? Because inside me, there's waswasa. Shaitan, he's whispering. He's trying to advise. His machine is moving. But alhamdulillah, iman is strong and mazboot. When a person does dhikr, he doesn't look towards shaitan and the nafs. Ask those people who have waswasa, who are stuck in the waswasa. Oh, shaitan's influencing me. He's like me. I'm a Muslim. I'm weak. Oh, there's no point of praying salah. I pray salah and I don't get any benefit. Dhikr, I do dhikr. I'm not getting a benefit. These are the whisperings of shaitan. And they have an effect on a person who's weak. So this life is continuing. But because alhamdulillah, we are not feeling this. We're not affected by this. Because Allah has made us do that action, that we are protected from the whispering of shaitan at this moment in time. And it happens sometimes that a person, when he is attacked by the waswas of shaitan, like for example, you're fighting with somebody and you're trying to save yourself, shield yourself, but when he attacks you, that's it. You lose. So in the same way, the waswas of shaitan, he's trying, you're shielding yourself and you're blocking him, but you don't know when he may find an opening and he attacks you and then you are lost in the battle with shaitan. So that's why we need to say that Allah, I am weak. I am nothing, and I'm just asking you for one dua after every salah, that Allah allow me to continue my life in the former way. So a person always remembers what he is. That Allah, I was a good person with your fadl, and where I am now, I'm a better person, but don't take me back to the old ways. May not be that I go in the reverse gear and I slip and I fall down and I go back to my dark old ways. So a person For example, when he's practicing Islam, he becomes proud, he has takabbur, he thinks he's better than other people, and he's a haughty, haughtiness, and I do this and that, and I'm better, and I'm a worshipper, and that person's a waste. Total waste who thinks he's good, he's doing better than others, and he's better than others. This is a danger. It doesn't take a second for a person to slip. Like when we're walking on the road, something slippery might come and Rafi, and if there's a banana peel, I've seen many young people, tall, strong bodies, walking on the road, showing themselves, and they're big and strong and powerful, you know, just walking. Allah's given them a body and muscles, and the banana peel comes under their foot, they slip and they drop onto, and the bone is broken. The bones break, and then they've got a stick and they're hobbling down the pavement. This is what happens. Allah Ta'ala says the person, he gets to the heights. He gets to the heights and one waswasa of shaitan comes. One whispering of shaitan comes and he takes the person to the wrong. And he comes, bang, to the bottom. And he drops to the lowest. And then how am I going to go back up to the levels again? So why don't you do dua first before that in advance? Allah save me so I don't slip off the path. And the dua is a beautiful, beneficial dua. So what were we talking about some moments ago? About the action that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that there are two things that we all yearn for. A long life, a life with a lot of years in the age, and the age, a long age. And we want a good home, a nice home with blessings and upwards. And Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, please tell us what is this action that will give us these two results. And beautiful, easy solutions Islam gives. Great, great, beautiful and easy solutions. Simple. Simple on the mind, simple for practice. And they give us a great conclusion. But shaitan and nafs doesn't allow us to implement even the small things. And what is this action? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, look, whenever you meet an ummati, a fellow ummati, that whenever you meet one of the ummah, then say assalamu alaikum. Say salam to that person. Aha. And when you do this, then you will get a long life. The more you want, the more Allah will give to you. Allah will increase your life, your age, if you spread salam. Whenever you meet a ummati, now here, what's our situation? Who's this? This is that person. Oh, don't say salam to this person. Oh, who's he related to? Oh, no, salam to this person. Who's he associated with? Oh, he's that person. No, is this not happening? And what is Rasulullah I'm saying? Ummati. Every single person in the ummah, the believers. And is this not creating groups and cults and differences? Is there anywhere here saying that beat each other, kill each other, fight each other, or strike at the neck of the person? Does Islam teach this? Or that hang a person and show people in the world the pictures that, oh, we've cut this person's throat and make CDs and videos that we're slitting people's throats? Is this shaitan? Is this Islam? No, it's shaitan. This is shaitan who's doing this. Understand, this is the fitna of this day and age, just like Dajjal. The fitnas of Dajjal will come at this moment in time. The big fitna of Islam is spread in the world. We hear this, we see this. Look at this one hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mercy to the universe. And we say we're ummati. This is the word of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that ummati say salam. And why do we kill people? Oh, he's this. He doesn't believe this. Just, I don't go into politics. I don't look at the news much. Nor do I have the resources. Nor do I have the time to look at the news. And maybe you have to sleep so I can do some more dhikr. That's the time I get. I don't even have the time to sleep and to meet people. And there are a lot of difficulties and issues. This person has this problem and this person has this predicament and who's won the election and this and that. Let it happen. Allah knows best. We are just following our line so that our akhirah can be improved. Our after. And that's my saying. That's my style. I don't know what's happening, what country, what's not happening in this country. This is a waste of time. Does it make any sense just following things that you cannot control? He's a president and he's this and let's spend hours and he was doing this. Let him do it. Let him. Why is it this dhulam here, oppression? The person who's got the oppression and dhulam, this is the punishment of his amal. Do tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why don't you turn back to Allah and repent? Allah will take away the punishment. If we keep displeasing Allah, then we keep on getting persecuted. That's it. Straightforward. Isn't it? Is this principle? Our iman teaches us this. That when a person displeases Allah, then Allah ta'ala allows the difficulties to come from all directions. From your own people, the external, the strange people. Like if you catch a thief in a country, and then when the thief is cool, everyone who's around there beats him. The police comes afterwards, they beat him first. The public, the general public. Don't they? This is our hal. Allah ta'ala says, from all corners you'll be persecuted. And you'll have problems. You won't be saved. Why? Because there's only one refuge, and what is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. Come back to Allah, turn to Him, do tawbah. Allah says, I'll give you such protection. Those same people will start to respect you and like you and give you manners and say, please come here, meet us, our country is good, come and meet us and you get barakah and you get blessings, and they'll meet you, put their hands in your hands and shake your hands and become your friends, and they'll work with you and do business with you and transactions with you. So this is the point here. The killing, fighting, beating and killing people because they don't believe what you believe. Islam straightforward teaches us that this is not Islam. These actions have no link with Muslims. This is discrimination. What is the words here in this hadith? That when an ummati meets another ummati. Now you've come to learn and I'm learning. So don't look here after today. Who is this person? What does he believe? And just say, assalamu alaikum. The person who's a Muslim, assalamu alaikum. If he doesn't answer, that's on that person's head. But if you're saying salam, he says, no, he's giving me salam, I don't like this person, I'm not going to give the reply. No, it's our duty to say salam, you fulfill your duty. And here's another cure for pride here in this hadith. Because the good thing here is that give salam to that person who you know doesn't want to say salam to you. Islam teaches us this. That say salam to those people who maybe dislike you. Many people we don't say salam to because we think that he's not going to say walaikum salam to me. He's proud, he thinks he's a big man, he's big-headed. But today let's bow our heads. That whatever action we do, we're doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not doing it for this man. We're not pleasing this man. Because we have been given a hukum from behind from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there's khair and barakah. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you meet any ummati, say salam, whether he's wrong, Allah and His Rasul know best, and He will be accounted for in the hereafter. We don't know if He's honest or dishonest, but we know the deen is honest, and we know that our practice will be good. So we practice that deen. If someone says bad to us, ridicules us, rebukes us, criticizes us, this is what Sunnah and Sharia teaches us. Other people can do and say what they want, but we know that this person's an ummati, so he deserves our salam. Whoever's an ummati, assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Spread the salam. So the first thing we need to learn, that maybe this is not in our life at the moment. Yes, we're very good at closing the mouth, keeping the mouth zipped. Many people have told me that your group, you know, your jamaat, the people, they don't say salam. They're quite, I said, they've reached to the heights, they're dhakir in it, they think they're walis of Allah, and that they just stay silent. And this is, I don't have the answer for this, that why don't they say salam? What can I say? People who are not Tablighi brothers and other people, and they've stopped coming. They used to come with mashallah passion. They said, well, I said, what happened? You don't come. They said that we say salam. They don't even say walaikum salam. They don't look at us. They're just living in their own world and keep their face down. I said, they're all walis of Allah, kutabs. They've reached to the heights and they think that they're untouchables. And why they think that? Why should we say salam to someone who's not on our level? Does this make sense? I don't do this. We don't do this. We're just standing with a cold face and stubbornness. These are diseases from within, inside our hearts. We should meet with people in such a way that people don't think like this, that they think they're the best. We've got this face and attire and surma and debas, and I've got a dhoti and I'm wearing the sunnah, and I don't look at other people. I don't say salam to the people. And I consider them foolish and jahil, astaghfirullah. And I think I'm better than others. Is this deen? What's the cure for this? Go to those same people. Say, assalamu alaikum, brother. How are you? Are you okay? I'm fine. How are you feeling? From today, we should learn this. Allah Ta'ala has given us this dua. May not be that Allah Ta'ala makes us go to the opposite direction. Make Allah please. Allah has given you tawfiq. You're doing amal. You're following sunnah. So we should go forward ourselves and propagate the salam. Initiate the salam. Yeah, we say, oh no, he hasn't got a beard. How can I say salam to him? He doesn't practice sunnah. He's a sinner. Outwardly, he doesn't look like he's a practicing Muslim. I don't want to commit a sin. If I do salam to him, it'll be a sin because he's a sinner. And if I give salam to him, I'll be committing a sin because he doesn't pray salah. What kind of thinking is this? This is negative. Oh, she's not a pure woman. She's impure. She's a sinner. I've seen her doing these actions. I'm not going to say salam to her. I'm not even going to go to her, say the sisters. Is this right? To judge a person, remember Rasulullah said, every ummati, my ummati, said Rasulullah, wherever you see an ummati, say salam, initiate salam. Rasulullah was present, a man came. And he said, assalamu alaikum. And the Prophet sat down, all the sahaba were sitting, and what is ta'leem the Prophet has given us? Subhanallah, great, great deen. And Rasulullah said, you know, he's come, he sat here, there are 10 rewards he's got. The Rasulullah mentioned that he was the Nabi. Another man came, and he came from the street. And this is called focus and attention of the Prophet ﷺ. He was teaching deen. So when words are exchanged and directions given, then consider this is tawajjuh, focus of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is the teaching and the hidayah. So another man came the same way, and he said, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Rasulullah ﷺ said, sit down. That's 20 rubuts. Salam is continuing. And another man came, Another person came, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And 30 rewards, you sit down as well. What a message. Free of charge, good deeds. And our tongues, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And the other person has to give the answer, even if he's distressed or displeased. He will have to say it. Okay, wa alaikum. You will mutter it from the subject. Some people, they just look, and in the masjid, it happens daily. I tell you the truth. I say, Assalamu alaikum. Just make a face. Then I say, Assalamu again to that person. Then I say, Assalamu again to the person. And then he runs towards my shoes to pick him up. I said, no, not the shoes, just the salam. So love increases. So in other words, you have to initiate the relationship, keep going after the person, Assalamu alaikum, assalamu, inshallah, eventually the love will come. So if I say Assalamu alaikum, and I'm the sheikh, and these people should come after, these are my students, this is my khanqa, and I'm the teacher, how should I think like this? How dare I think like this? That I should say Assalamu alaikum to a person, if he dislikes me, if he slaps me, I enjoyed that, alhamdulillah. I say Assalamu alaikum, I tell you verbally, I can show you the person as well. Okay, no problem. We don't want to say, well, so after 2 days, I said, Assalamu alaikum. He said, quickly. Didn't even give the salam nicely. So the case was continued. But some days ago, the case was happening. Qari sahab knows that there were some issues previous. And everyone stopped saying salam to everyone. And now I say salam to everybody. And mashallah, there are meetings happening and people are rebuking. And we come out, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum wassalam. So mashallah, tawajjuh and focus. So this is the action. That in this action, we shouldn't look at who's doing what, if someone's against me, friend, maybe doesn't talk to me, why has he come, how has he sat down, does he know me, doesn't know me. This is between Allah and His servant, how a person's come. And Allah knows how to grab someone. If someone's playing games, who will grab the neck? Allah. We are innocent. We don't know what's in people's hearts and minds. So Allah Ta'ala says, I will assist myself, the person's alright. Allah will protect the person from the negative himself. And Allah Ta'ala will give a punishment from such a dark place to the sinner that he cannot even realize. A person who defrauds somebody else, or show somebody, plays games with somebody, or deceive somebody, and so that he cannot find out, and I will carry on, and he thinks that I'm a good person, and I will deceive him, but Allah Ta'ala says, I am the greatest, and I am the Zat in the heavens, and Allah Ta'ala says, I will take the side of the person who's in the right. Whose side does Allah Ta'ala take? The person who's being deceived, Allah takes his side, because he is doing the action for the sake of Allah. Allah will take you out of the dark corner, and Allah will expose that person who transgressed in front of you that you couldn't recognize, but Allah Ta'ala exposes that person. Remember the point I'm saying. But what do we do? Everyone we should consider as good. Believe me, I never my heart does ever feel that a person's against me, I swear my heart never feels that a person opposes me or criticizes me. People say, don't go to him, Hazrat. I've heard, I swear by Allah, he was speaking against you just now. I said, I don't believe that. I'm going to say Assalamu alaikum to him. Subhanallah. Why don't I feel that anyone's against me? Why don't I feel this? Why do I have the feeling that I need to give salam to everyone? And the words will increase and the discussion will increase. There were people who were against me, you could say, but they became my friends. They were against me. That where I was, there was all enmity before. And then you take the statements from those people. Those same people are friends. I said that, how can they be against me? Maybe they've got a misconception or they've heard something wrong, a bad rumor. Assalamu alaikum. Because the heart doesn't feel that I should be against the person. Why? Because when a person's heart is clean, then everyone to him is a clean and pure person. Everyone, I tell you the truth here. The truth. When somebody makes his heart pure, whoever comes to me and people say, I swear by Allah, he's your enemy, Baba, he will give you loss and negative. I'll say, no, I'm still going to go to that person. They say, you're weird. I'm telling you that this person is against you. You're still going to that person to promote friendship. I say that I have yaqeen on one point, that who will take revenge and who will protect? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. End of story. And this is the hadith. That if you don't take revenge from a person to a person who did bad to you or thought bad of you, Allah says, I will do it myself. And if you try to take revenge yourself, then that person will overwhelm you himself. So give the case to me. Allah says, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. We've assigned all our cases to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? So now we come back to the hadith, because hadith becomes long and the discussion becomes long, doesn't it? Okay, you're not sleeping, are you? Oh, no, okay, fine. So you can hear what I'm saying? Okay, so do you understand the message, what I've said? What is it that we should say salam to everybody? Anyone who asks a masala, who is the dirtiest person, most impure? Me, myself, we ourselves, and everyone else around us is the best. We say salam to everyone. So this is the first action. And straight away you will get the long life, the long age. Flu will finish, flu jabs will finish, you will start coming to the masjid, no colds, no cough, no splatter, no sneezing, you'll have the health and the long age. and you'll reach to Allah's house. Allah will give, may Allah give us the life full of khair and barakah. And the second thing, lots of people have family problems, divorces, arguments, quarrels at home, issues and worries. I want to get married a second time. I'm going to get married. And people, men, they're fighting with the wife, arguing. He has 5 or 6 children. Oh, I'm getting married again. I'm getting married. Like he's got a line outside of women waiting to marry him. And women so foolish. And they say, okay, you get married. And they start crying. Oh, he's getting married again. Many sisters come. I say, you are foolish, sister. That has he got a line outside his house? How did you get stuck with this man? The women say to him, don't do one, go and get married twice. Oh, he'll get married. Where is he going to get married, this man? Who's going to give him the bride? In marriage. And the woman, she says, oh, he's going to go and leave me. If you go to your wife and threaten, I'm going to get married again. She says, no, for the sake of Allah, don't do this. And you say to the sister, oh woman, just go and say to the man when he says this to you, go on then, go and get married if you want to, and leave me. And he'll be so ashamed when the woman says that, and you'll see him shaking there on the spot when you reply. So we have these issues in our houses, we have problems and the quarrels and the disputes and fitna and fasad and quarrels and arguments, no love in the house, and this affects the children, and the children, they become, you can psychologically affected. They turn mad or crazy, or they have to go to a mental institute, and the whole generation then is spoilt and affected. And you see the effects. They see the mum and dad are fighting and arguing, and they're screaming in front of the kids and shrieking out, and the age increases. Then the group is formed in the family, the wife and the children, they go against the father, they take the side of the father or the mother, and there's a tug of war. And this is our muashara, our society today. And don't we want a life free from these stresses? And there's no cure you will get in the world for this. Nobody can cure these issues in the world. Everyone talks nonsense. Come to me and I'll pray for you. And there's adverts in the paper. I will solve your husband-wife marital problems and your husband will drop to your feet. Come to me. And only one solution. Where from? The court of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's it. What a small cure. That when you go home, then do one thing. Bas. What is that? Assalamu alaikum. And we don't even do this. Why? Because she's my wife, I'm the husband. I'm higher and she's lower. I'm stronger, she's weaker. And we think that the person who gives salam is lower. You know the person who has to give salam? He says that, look, I'm stronger and she's lower than me, weaker. Why should I say salam? She should say salam to me. That she's my wife. If I say salam to her, then she's going to think I'm under a fee and that she's better than me. So I'm not going to say salam to her. What kind of nonsense is this? This is opposed to the teaching of Islam. Look, when we say salam to each other, love will increase and exchange between our hearts and angels will descend. When you go home, assalamu alaikum. What do you get as a reward? Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, khair and barakah will come in your life. That you can't buy anywhere. For decades, the enmity will turn into friendship. One brother, some days ago, he said to me that, I used to go somewhere else for dhikr, and his wife said, I've got a problem. He said, go and speak to your sheikh. He said, no, I'm ashamed. I said, okay, don't you feel ashamed speaking to me? He's your sheikh. Speak to your sheikh and tell him your issues, that he's your teacher, your guide, because you're like a child. And tell, no, please, you tell me. I said, I only know one thing. He said, please do something, that I've got problems, they're not going to be solved. I said, is it? I said, okay, do one thing. Then I said to the brother, I said, not 1 week, 3 days practice this. And when you go home, because we don't talk, we don't sit with each other, talk to each other, discuss with you. I said, 3 days, go home. If you want friendship, then I said, go home for 3 days and say, assalamu alaikum. And I just keep going in, keep going out. Leave the house, go back in, leave the house, go back in. The third day, he didn't meet me. Rather, he came and sat down in the dhikr, you'll remember. He attended the gathering, subhanAllah. Because, and then after a few days, he didn't come. Maybe he didn't like the discussion. So that person, he left everything and he sat in dhikr in the masjid. Maybe somebody saw him and noted him. And subhanAllah, he said, I don't know how my family circumstances, environment changed. The tawajjah, the dua you did. I said, I didn't do nothing. This is the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that you implemented. This is the sadqa of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his karam, his mercy, his guidance. So easy. Say salam and the blessings will come. So this amal we should do, alhamdulillah, a great action, a massive action. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice this. Just the things to think about. That what is in salam? When we say assalamu alaikum to each other and we greet each other, what is the power, the current, the energy that you say salam to each other? And is such a thing salam, if we look at it, that Allah has in salam, that the deen-e-haq, the name is salam. The reason for it is that this religion of truth, Allah Ta'ala says that this is my attribute. This is my personal name, Malik Uddus Salam. As-Salam, Allah is As-Salam. And Allah Ta'ala says, I like this personal name of mine. This attribute of mine. This is Allah, one of the names of Allah, isn't it? Salam. As-Salam. Allah likes it so much that Allah Ta'ala named the deen Islam. When Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was born, this is the hadith. When Hazrat Adam alayhi salam was born, after being born, then Allah Ta'ala said, go Adam, you know the angels, this sitting at the long group of angels, and go to them and say as-salam to them. As-salamu alaykum. And there, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam went, he said, let me see what answer the angels give to me. So Hazrat Adam alayhi salam went to the angels, and when he went there, and this is the hadith of Abu Dawud, then he said, as-salamu alaykum to the angels, wa rahmatullahi. And they answered, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The angels replied. Hazrat Adam alayhi salam stated this. So this is the barakah. Why is there barakah and blessings in this statement of salam? Why? Because this is Allah's personal attribute and this is His quality. And that's why. So this is a Safati name of Allah. And here, the beautiful name of Allah, As-Salam, and we look at the azmat and the greatness and the status of Allah Ta'ala's name, that at that time, when a person will be accounted in the hereafter and the decision will be made, then what will happen? The jannatis, the people who will go to paradise, and when they will go to paradise, then what will be their hal? What situation will they be in when they reach there? Dunya, when you will go to paradise in the hereafter, who will be the people who go to paradise? Allah said in the Quran, that إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ هُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُمْ فِي زِلَالِ الْأَرَائِكِ مُتَّكِئُونَ لَهُمْ فِيهَا فَاكِهَةٌ. Allah Ta'ala says this, سَلَامٌ قَوْلًا مِّن رَبِّ الرَّحِيمِ. Ah, what a great guidance Allah Ta'ala has given us, that sketch that we are tired in the world and fed up of the world and tired and frustrated and problems and taking the rebukes and the criticism and scolding from people around us, and we have got the wounds of our nafs and our desires and shaitan. We fight shaitan and oppose shaitan, and he's clashed against us in our life, and poverty and hunger and fatigue and sickness and illnesses. That person who's lived a life in the world like this, and now we're talking about Jannah. There's such people who always had issues in the world, and if they had the piece of bread in their life, they would spend the whole night being grateful to Allah. Those who didn't have clothes to wear in the world, they didn't know about drinks and juices, they didn't know about food, they didn't have any food, they didn't know about enjoyment and luxury and comfort, and they didn't have clothes to wear, no food to eat, and this is dunya. These are the people leaving the dunya, going to thereafter. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? That إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says that when they will reach and arrive to their hereafter, what will be their maqam, their status? These were those people who are coming from the world in such a way, and then a problematic life they had. And what will they get in the hereafter? Allahu Akbar, they will have the shade of paradise. Fee, Allah Ta'ala says, the beautiful zilalin, Allah Ta'ala says, the shade of Jannah, and they will be under the shade of the trees of paradise, and the rivers flowing under their feet and their houses. And they will be the ashabul Jannah, the companions of paradise. And this is a beautiful word, shughlin. This word, this verse, I never forget this verse. There was a dear friend of mine, and subhanallah, I was in Medina, maybe it was Ramadan, and my colleagues were sitting next to me. They used to come and sit next to me. And this brother, he was a very old inhabitant of Medina, and he came and sat down next to me quite a long time. And he sat in the majlis, our gathering, and he came and sat down next to me. I used to seat him next to me, and today I'm speaking about him. And what I realized, that he went home and he didn't have any children, just his wife, and he used to live quite a long time. He was there in Medina, he was a businessman. And what happened? He passed away in the lift. What did we know? It was night time. In the morning, Fajr time, when we came, Tahajjud, when we reached them, and the brothers came and said, Hazrat, he's passed away, the brother. I said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. I was feeling very, very different at that time. Just some hours before he was with us, it was Ramadan. And my feeling at that time, my emotion, and there Shaykh Hudayfi, mashallah, used to recite Quran beautifully, the Imam, and before Janaza was Fajr, and the Fajr time, he read this verse, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِهُونَ. I felt like he has reached to paradise already. Subhanallah. So this verse I will never forget. When I read this verse or I hear this verse, I always feel like reading this verse. Such a beautiful recitation. Hudhayfi Sahib recited this that morning before the janazah, Fajr time. So when a person, he lives a life like this and he departs in that way, and then in Jannah, what does that person do? Allah Ta'ala announces, they will get the beautiful mattresses and they will have the beautiful beds and beautiful couches and pillows and enjoying the life. Beautiful luxury, extreme luxury in paradise. No worry, no distress, no problems, no difficulties. Total and color and fabric and all of the enjoyments you can ever imagine, and songs and music, and every desire will be fulfilled in thereafter. And further than that, hum azwajuhum, and there'll be hoors and their partners and their wives from the world will be with them, sat with them. And with the full way, they'll be enjoying themselves, and in a complete way, they'll be sitting down doing shugal and playing with each other. Subhanallah, shugal. And here I'll tell you a story. One of our friends, mashallah, he was also from our khanqah, and our first khanqah, mashallah, which we spent time in that house. He was Aziz Sahib. Maybe his children are listening. Aziz Sahib, mashallah, from our old khanqah, the first khanqah. And that time there was a lot of hard times. We had to make a khanqah. He sold his shop. He sold his shop and all his wealth was spent on the khanqah. And the dhikr had an effect on him and he passed away. And a brother saw, alhamdulillah, fi shughulin fakihun, because Quran speaks the truth. He said, Ajib Hazrat, I saw in my dream, Azib Saab, I saw him in my dream. What was he doing? That this was the scene. That day I saw him shughul, he was enjoying himself and they're throwing things on each other. They're drinking alcohol, sharab. In their rafter, and they're drinking and they're throwing the goblets on each other, running off each other and playing and joking. And when he saw me, he said that he saw me in the dream. I was watching him. Aziz Sahib said, that how is Hazrat Sahib? And say salam to Hazrat Sahib. I'm enjoying myself, mashallah. Subhanallah. Fi shughulin fakihun. This is shughul. These are the words of the Quran. They'll be enjoying themselves. Luxury, comfort, the things that people couldn't have here. They didn't know what was water here. And forget alcohol. People in this world, they didn't go to alcohol. They left it because obviously they can't. But they didn't even have water or juices or drinks or cans of whatever. Allah says, they won't just be given the drink. Whatever they ask, they will get. Allah says, no end. And they'll be enjoying so much paradise. And do you want Jannah like this, brothers? Do I want it? Then we have to crush our desires. I've given you two examples. Wallahi, the Quran gives experience in the life that why we are stuck in the mud and the dirt. Just a few moments to come, we will reach to thereafter. Fi shughulin fakihun, lahum fiha azwajun. There will be azwaj, your wives, and you'll be in the shade and you'll be enjoying yourself and playing games and food and dishes and servants, beautiful servants like the beautiful precious pearls, and they'll be serving you. Beautiful ghulams. You know, like you go for a picnic on a nice summer's day. Allah's given us that scene. Lahum fiha fakihatun. Allah Ta'ala says, on top of that, you'll have the alcohol and you'll have the food. There'll be alcohol, the drink, and you'll have the dishes, the expensive and the lush, beautiful, delicious dishes. Whatever you ask, you'll just hint, you just think about it in your mind. Whatever desires come, all the desires you crush in the world. You used to look around the people of the world, what they're doing, the riches they've got, the wealth, and those people, some of those people enjoy themselves and big houses and mansions. And what will those people have? Mumtazul ayyul mujrimun. Oh, get away from me. Why are you looking at what I've got here now? This is the verse of the Quran. Mumtazul yawm. Oh, get away from me, oh disrespectful people. Why have you come here to look at me now? Yeah? Just like, for example, you go to see a match and you're standing outside the stadium and the ticket collector and a person's trying to get through the turnstile. He doesn't have a ticket. He tries to get inside and the policeman or the guard kicks him out. What are you doing here? You don't have a ticket. You're not let out in. So that's what's going to happen to the sinners in the after. Who are you coming here to Jannah? Get away from here. You're distant from us. Only the special people get paradise. These are those people, the people in the hereafter, the haughty pride people in the world who said, oh, you're mad, are you crazy, foolish, why do you put these things on your head, what's these clothes you've got on, why are you doing this all day long and practicing this deen? Just a few days, brothers, wait and hear the stories from the people in the world and get the reward and enjoyment in the akhirah and the hereafter. Oh sisters, oh brothers, oh men, oh women, the Rasulullah has given us a hukam, then grab hold of it, embrace it. Doesn't matter if people in the world laugh at you. Doesn't matter. Nobody can spoil your after. Crush your desires. Crush your desires. So then what will happen? That so much enjoyment in the hereafter in paradise. And what will they be getting? What are the things they will be given? That they will be playing. They're just bodily enjoyment. Eating, drinking, alcohol, women, sharab. They will be given all of this. Those things they could not get here. And what is it they didn't receive here? The bodily luxuries. The people were poor, deendar, they couldn't eat the apples. They used to eat the skins of the apples. I can show you people who eat the skin of the apple. They can't even eat the apple. They take the skin of the apple and they grind it and they cook it in the pot and give that to their children as a curry. I can show you little kids, I can show you in the villages. They read Quran in the day, doing hifs of Quran. But they don't have meat to eat in the night. They don't have anything. They call it tikri in our dialect. So they get the skins of the fruit that people throw away. The rubbish, you know, they go around. They say, please, we come to your house, give us food. And the people give the leftovers to them. They take the skins of the apples and the fruit and cook it in their pots and make curry and eat the skins of the fruits, and their children doing hifs of Quran. And they gave this to their children. They take the tukra, those pieces. Oh, they've come, the poor people. Oh, the students. Oh, give them food, leftovers. And the poor mother, mashallah. And these are the mulanas who study in Pakistan. They come here, those imams. And I'm telling you the truth. And the other people, for tali, for other education, money and expensive and uniforms and cars and luxury. And the people who read Quran, we don't even look at them twice. Notice, is this the ummah? The person who's becoming a hafiz of Quran, who's learning the deen, who's going to protect Allah's deen and Allah's Quran. What is their haq, their right? We should go to their houses, give them food. And in the day, the son who's doing the hifz, the daughter, they eat one dry piece of bread and they're saving it for the evening. Can you find a madrasa? If you find a madrasa, then pay and give the sadqa to that madrasa as much as you can. There are two types of people. There's some madrasas you go and see that you won't have a car, but they'll have cars parked outside. We have this nowadays, isn't it? You look at those madrasas, air conditioning. I've seen it. When they come here, they ask for money like they've got nothing. But they've got all the luxuries, and I stayed silent. I knew that in that madrasa was the luxury. But those people who don't have anything, they don't even come to us. Until today, I've never seen that person, the principal, leaving the country to go and ask for money. The person who could spend 1 lakh, 100,000, and he comes here to ask for charity, then why does he need that? Why doesn't he go and spend that 100,000 rupees there? I'm not against charity and asking. I'm telling you the hal of the world nowadays. A person who could spend 100,000, 200,000 and come here and ask for money, he can spend there. What are we? This is a masla. I'm not a mufti, but I've read this masla. I've heard it. I've seen it. The zakat that you can, you're sure you're giving zakat for that person. To save ourselves, we say, oh, give me zakat, give me zakat. Zakat, are you giving right zakat? Are you implementing that zakat correctly? Have you gone and seen that that place is deserved of zakat, of charity? There were all sorts of cars there and enjoyment and luxury and beautiful buildings and assets. Then those children will be given that tarbiyah as well according to the luxuries. What I've seen with my eyes, I'm telling you those words. Wallah, Allah knows best. Apart from that, and those people have seen that. I've seen this and I've seen the other opposite side, and there's people who don't have nothing, no food, there's no one to give to them apart from Allah. And who are those people? Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, إِنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ فِي شُغُلٍ فَاكِيُونَ, that these people, when they go to Jannah, who had hardship in the world, they'll have gardens, luxuries, they'll be grabbing and looting, and they'll have so much color and enjoyment in their life, that they had no food, no clothes and nothing. They lived the life of poverty. SubhanAllah. And they'll be in such a maqam, the Quran tells us. Physically they will have this, and spiritually the nur will emanate, such a nur, and suddenly their eyes, all the people of paradise, they'll be enjoying themselves and be busy. Suddenly they'll leave everything and they'll look towards the nur and the heavens, and they will see that they have the ziyara, the vision of Allah. And in the hadith it's stated, Allah will be seeing them and they'll be seeing Allah. And this is the hadith that Allah Ta'ala, with the eyes, the people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there will be hijab and it will come the veil. Allahu Akbar. And then the enjoyment of that sight, Allahu Akbar, of that vision of Allah. That taste and that enjoyment, the barakah will continue. It will be there in Jannah, and they will forget all of the enjoyment that the hoors and all the enjoyment they had before that. They will forget it just for that sight of Allah, that enjoyment of the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will be looking at Allah and have the vision of Allah. Aha. So this is the reward, such a great reward, my friends. What a maqam, what an enjoyment, what a station Allah will give, what a level Allah will give in paradise. And who will get it? Those people who worked hard for Allah's deen in this life. Salamun qawlam mir rabbi rahim. Allah will say salam, O people of paradise. Is that salam that has been sent to this world, that you say salam here and your love will increase in your house, in your family, and your life will increase? What is this? Allah Ta'ala says, this is my name, Safati name. And what is Allah's personal name? What is Allah's personal name? Allah. So one is the quality, Allah Ta'ala's attribute, His name. And if that's the maqam, the as-salam, and then tell me Allah's personal name. Those people who keep saying Allah, Allah, Allah all their life, imagine what their status will be in the hereafter. Imagine. So I've said salam. If I say assalamu alaikum to someone and I'm mentioning Allah's Safati name and I get all these rewards in the hereafter, then can I imagine what reward I'll get for saying Allah's personal name? Allah. One is Allah's name, Safati. Salamun qawlam min Rabbir Rahim. That in the heavens, your name will spread in the hereafter because you said salam in the world. Allah says, I will give you the reward in the hereafter. So if Allah Ta'ala's Isme Zat, Allah's Isme Azam, the greatest name Allah, and we spend our life reciting this, then imagine how we will stand. How that person will stand. He will get such a high rank. Allah's not even mentioned in the Quran the reward for that person. Allah's just given a hint, a guidance that this is how much I value my name as salam. So imagine my personal name Allah when somebody recites that all his life. But Allah, it's a very, very pure name. And the person who recites this name, who remembers this name, imagine his reward, his level, his rank, his status in the hereafter, and how he will see Allah. Imagine the ziyarah he will get. This is not a small point. This is not a small matter. This is a massive, massive thing. Allah has given the tawfiq that we're doing the dhikr of Allah and of Ismi that on the heart. Bas, that's it. One thing we need to do, that this name, don't let nafs and shaitan come and contaminate this dhikr that we're doing and mix in with the name reciting. Let's make our hearts pure and our nafs pure from shaitan and nafs, so that this action of dhikr of Allah's remembrance, that nothing can compare to this amal in the hereafter. This action is the greatest. Bas nafs and shaitan, we have to be purified from this, and Allah has given us one mujahidah. Allah has given us the name, but remember this point always, that nafs and shaitan, we have to be saved from them. That's it. Okay, and the nafs and shaitan, they spoil all our good deeds. Was the enemy of nafs and shaitan, he's not going to leave us. We've been taught Ism-i Zat, Allah's name, and with that power, he will try to come and contaminate our deen and our dhikr. He'll try to make us commit sins. He'll make us go away from Allah's remembrance. He'll try to reduce the power of Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. So it's our choice now. How much do we look after this gift of Allah's name that he's given to us to do dhikr? And we waste it in the world. Dunya is ghaleez and dirty. Don't you understand the examples I give? That Allah Ta'ala gives the competition between both. Mumtazul yawmu ayyuhal mujrimun. And Allah will say, get. The people of paradise will say, the dogs of the world, you played with your nafs and shaitan, and you're trying to get the reward in paradise as well now. How can you come here? This is the other path you need to go and get away from here. Go far from here. And these four or five verses, Allah Ta'ala has made this sketch. That person becomes awake when he reads these verses. So my brothers, salam is a great action. Say assalamu alaikum. So these two things we've studied today. Remember this lesson. What do we need to do? Have you forgotten? Number one, spread salam. You'll get a long life and barakah in your family. Not a long life, rather, you'll get more chance to do dhikr of Allah. Not a long life, you get more time to do Allah Ta'ala's dhikr. Allah says, I'm giving you more time to do my dhikr so I can be pleased with you more. And khair and barakah, there'll be no disturbance in your dhikr then. You'll have khair and barakah in your home, and your house will become like a masjid. Just think about dhikr, 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 and think about Allah's pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. And where will you get the benefit of both? Allah Ta'ala's dhikr will give you the benefit. Both things will give you Allah Ta'ala's benefit. May Allah Ta'ala give me and you the tawfiq. I forgive, ask for forgiveness. I've gone on for quite a long time, but no problem. That's why we come here.